Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Discover a healthcare team that's always here for you at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Over 100 years ago this month, 450 passengers stepped off the Cunard liner Laconia in New York, marking the first ever world cruise. And even though the idea of taking a long boat journey for recreation was something that took a bit of getting used to at first, the popularity of cruise holidays is now at an all-time high, believe it or not. The Cruise Lines International Association anticipates the number of passengers this year will surpass the figure for 2019. So what's behind it, this current boom in cruise holidays? Who better to tell us than travel journalist Fionn Davenport, who is here. I love the idea of a cruise.
Yeah, and the thing is that it's been a hard fought battle for the cruise industry to convince the likes of you and me to entertain the possibility of a cruise, because the newlywed and the nearly dead would have been very much the sense of what cruises were like for a very long time. But over the last 10, 15 years, that perception has changed. So, for instance, the average age of first-time cruisers is now really...
That's fine.
It's under 40. It's under 40, yes. And that really is a sea change, pun very much intended, in the way we think about cruises. So, I mean, are they cool? Probably... I don't know how cool anything is, but
I don't care about cool.
No, but they are relaxing. What they have is they recognize the importance of a new generation of passenger, a new generation of traveler, and they have gone to enormous and successful lengths to really grab the share of that market.
So what do you think is the appeal of a cruise holiday?
You can break it down very quickly. It's more relaxing. So cruise life is less of a hassle than land tourism. Mm-hmm. And that's just fewer unexpected problems to solve. You're not worried about money. Everything is on your card. Sorry, you have like the card that opens your cabin door is the same card you use to pay for stuff. A lot of them are all inclusive. You don't have to spend hours traveling between destinations. There's a lot of pampering depending on the kind of cruise style you go for. And on average, I would argue that cruise staffers pamper their guests at a higher level than hotels and other land tourism personnel. And
then finally,
Sorry, go ahead. And this is it. You only unpack once.
Ah, you see, there's the joy. I mean, I know they're like cities. They're like floating cities. I just wonder, do you get that feeling of being trapped or wanting to get off?
You can broadly break down cruise ships into two. There's the small luxury liners that might take passengers in the hundreds, maybe 200, 250. And that is very much a type of cruise. But the big cruises that you're referring to, Claire, these are the big 3,000, 4,000, 5,000 passenger cruise ships that are like, they're like towns. And here's the weird thing, right? So I would have been very much a cruise skeptic for a long time, independent traveler, like picking where I go, et cetera, et cetera. And I thought, oh my God, I'm just going to be bored senseless. I'm going to see the same people stuck at dinner and keep running into them. Like, you literally have to arrange to meet people because you will never run into them again. The ships are so big. You're talking, you know, 18 decks that could be hundreds of meters long with activities, a list of activities as long as both your arms, both your legs and mine as well.
And you don't have to sit with people you don't know.
So that's the other thing. So all of that is gone. The old kind of fixed dining thing of like where you don't have to do any of that anymore. There's signature restaurants so you can make your bookings as you want. And then the buffet. So that's the other big appeal of cruises, is the food offering has gotten exponentially better in the last decade than it ever was before.
And you come home 2 stone heavier.
Well, there's the cruise stone, isn't there? And the thing is, the hardest thing to do is to resist. It's like, because the buffet is open all day long. Mm-hmm. You can go as many times as you want. And so one of the biggest challenges for a cruise passenger is like, no, I don't need an extra portion of whatever it is that's in front of you.
They're expensive, or at least that's what their reputation is.
They are, because the price of the cruise is front loaded. So it just seems, oh my God, you know, €2,800 for 10 days in the Mediterranean, for a sea-facing cabin, etc. It seems like a lot. But given that all your food is paid for, all of it, you can buy alcohol packages. So you can buy drinks packages.
An add-on.
So these are an add-on, but they are, if you like your wine at dinner, etc., etc., or you like a few drinks in the evening, they actually are good value for money. So I would make the argument.
Do you have to pay then for activities and services on top of your price? You do.
Yeah. So for example, if you want to go for a spa treatment, they're extra. The signature restaurants, the you know, the really good high-end stuff. But they're not. Like, for example, I would... So the argument I'd make is that a five-star cruise holiday is more affordable than a five-star hotel holiday. Way more affordable. And the reason being is that, let's say, for example, I was on a cruise last year and I went to the signature restaurants where the food was divine and it was 60 euro for the meal. And I know that if I was on land, I would pay at least double that in a land restaurant.
But you didn't have to do that.
No, you don't. You can just stick to the buffet. And the buffets are sublime.
Now, Raymond says, myself and my wife are both 37 and we adore cruises. Yeah. We've done four. They're addicted.
So the cruise industry, this is, Raymond is exactly, this is what they want to hear, because they love repeat passengers. So the idea is they don't want you cruising just once. They want you to become a committed cruiser so that you will go, you will try different ships, you will try different destinations. You will try Europe, you will try Scandinavia. And then if you want to go on a winter cruise, you might go to the Caribbean.
Very nice. How environmentally friendly are they? A lot of people are getting in touch about concerns on that front.
Truth is, no, they're not. Not right now. No, I mean, they just aren't. They know that. So according to reports, cruise ships are responsible for nearly 3% of all global greenhouse emissions every year. And that's more than planes, etc. However, every cruise line knows this. They're not shying away from it. And so they're all investing in these green initiatives, from looking at their carbon footprint to refining emissions, etc. LNG, or lower carbon liquefied natural gas, that's the one that they feel is the game changer. Doubts remain over whether LNG is actually really kind of environmentally friendly anyway. But the truth is that, like, it's an awkward truth. Is they are not environmentally friendly. And that's, never mind the big passenger ships that are kind of docking in Venice and are upsetting the ecosystem there. But all I can say, and the cruise industry will agree, is that, look, we're looking at it. We are doing everything we can. We're investing billions of dollars to try and make ourselves more environmentally friendly.
Yeah, but that's a factor that people will have to factor into their decision on this.
I mean, it's a factor that we have to factor into all of our travel decisions, you know? So
now, river cruising, that's a whole
other ballgame.
Yeah,
so that's another big one. Yeah, and that's really seen a massive growth in the last few years. And so, like for instance, okay, you have... everything. So you could go from the Douro, which is the river that runs through Porto, to the Rhine, to the Danube, to the Po in Italy. And so these and these are the ones where you're going to see the same passengers, because obviously the ships are much, much smaller. But they're very elegant. All of it is included. They're incredibly popular. And these still appeal to a slightly older demographic than your ocean going cruises. But some of them, like Uniworld do extraordinarily beautiful cruises. And you get to see things in a weird way. So you could do like a Danube cruise that take you through Hungary and Austria, and you stop in all these towns and cities, etc. And it really is a way of experiencing, and again, without unpacking more than once.
Tell me about your cruise do's and don'ts.
Yeah, so do find a specialist, okay? Because there are so many options to bear in mind. That, you know, the too good to be true deals are often too good to be true. A cruise specialist will take exactly what your criteria are. What are you looking for? And there's so many different asks you have, and they will be able to find the cruise that suits you. Give yourself a budget, okay? There's no point in saying, well, how long is a piece of string? I've got $2,000 to spend. A cruise specialist will get a cruise that where you will spend $2,000. If you have double that, then they'll suit you accordingly. Go for the all-inclusive cruise. Don't go for the rock basement price, because then the add-ons will. And then at the end, you're going, hang on a second. They'll get you in the end. Of course they do. Everyone gets you in the end. Decide when and where you want to travel. So the Caribbean cruises are generally, as a rule, cheaper than the European cruises, but they're more of a winter. It's the winter season. So October, November, right through to March, April. Dining. Generally speaking, you're going to be offered dinner times. You don't have to use them. I wouldn't. If you're traveling with kids, investigate kids programs. There are amazing kids programs on all of them, really. There's Disney ships. You can take your kids on a Disney ship. Don't, as I mentioned, the deals, excursions. Now, Cruise ships make a lot of money out of excursions. In my limited experience, I've been in a handful. I don't really enjoy them. I feel they're like $160 and it's all dollars. $160 for an excursion that I'm like, I just get off the ship myself and go figure it out.
So this is when you dock in a place and they say, we're going to bring you
Yeah,
there
and these to me, these are still, I still feel that there's a lot of work to be done on making the excursions interesting for the traveler who really kind of knows Europe or the world, you know. And so for me, beware of the excursions you sign up for. You don't have to sign up for any.
Yeah,
you can get off the ship and go
just
your own way.
Do your own thing.
But I feel, yeah, I would, excursions wouldn't be my thing at all.
Okay, and again, if you're trying to keep the price down, you're probably better off having a little
explore. Yeah, or you could go, you could pick one excursion. On a 10-day cruise, on average, you're going to be at sea 3 days and you're going to be docked 7 days. So you're going to spend, so the ship will arrive very early in the morning and you'll have an entire day, if not 2 days, in a destination. On the bigger, like Istanbul, for instance, you might spend 2 days. But so you could pick one excursion if you want, like if you can go, I don't know, go olive oil making in the Bay of Naples or something. But if you're docking in Istanbul, just go yourself. Just do your own thing.
Sounds to me like you're a begrudging fan.
I know I am. I'm more than a begrudging fan. I have to say, Claire, in the last few years, I've been on a handful of cruises and I've enjoyed
older,
them all.
Getting older, you see, that's it. You're getting older like the rest of us.
That's exactly what it is.
Listen, you've whetted our appetites with that one, Fiona, and we'll talk to you again very soon. Thank you for telling us all about cruise holidays and for all of the people who got in touch saying that they're going on a cruise. Yes, we are jealous. A reminder now that you can listen back to this item and all of our shows on the RTE radio app. In the headlines, the Taoiseach has said he's disappointed that the DUP has chosen not to return to Stormont following yesterday's House of Commons vote in favour of the Windsor framework. And that's it for today. Thank you for listening. The programme was produced by Rachel Graham, researched by Emma Cawley. Our broadcast coordinator is Jarlath Holland. Gar Duffy was on sound, and it's over to Louise.